In the darkened spaces of university galleries, an artist's work flickers against giant screens in a series of haunting and poetic films. The process-based experiments with analog film allows the artist to embrace the unpredictable elements of working within this particular medium, making the creation of the art to be as important as the finished product. GLT's arts correspondent Laura Kennedy checked out the films and accompanying still photos in this report.
The films of artist Basim Magdi depict curious and improbable narratives through intriguing images wrapped in original sound. His unique storytelling is part of an exhibition entitled To Hypnotize Them with Forgetfulness. Magdi originally did works on paper involving collaging and paint. Then he brought a series of his paintings to life with experimental animation and realized he'd found an exciting new medium in which to express himself. Magdi says the process of learning is an important aspect of his creative work as he branched into analog film.
With film, you always have three elements. You have three layers. You have the image that moves, and you have the narrative or the text or the script, and you have the sound. Film got me quite interested in layering things and in how reality is layered, how I can respond to that in my work. Because I started working with film as a material, I became interested in photography and analog photography as well, and how I can somehow manipulate film to produce new ways of producing images, new colors, also to embrace randomness, to embrace failure, to embrace the fact that I can't control everything all the time, because that's something that is inherent in analog photography. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are, there's always going to be a certain percentage of error or of chance. I magnify this. I take the film and I pickle it in acidic household chemicals.
You pickle your films?
Yes. It's acidic household chemicals, so it's almost very similar to pickling vegetables. It's a very calculated process, and it took me years to be able to control it. But it's still, I think, the most interesting part about it is that it can be completely controlled.
So that's exciting for you, that you can't 100% predict what the outcome's going to be.
I can predict the color, I can predict the effect, but I can't predict the strength of all of this. How powerful it's going to be, how much it will affect the film itself as a material. I became really interested in film as something tangible that I can touch with my own hands and manipulate and punch holes in it and see my fingerprints on it. And whatever I do on the film itself, once it's projected, it becomes visible. There is this one film that I'm showing, and I haven't actually showed it much before. It's called Crystal Ball. It was shot with a camera that had a crack in it, which allowed the light to come in. And that's something I was aware of from the beginning, and that's the reason why I wanted to shoot that film, with a camera that has a crack in it.
What happened when you developed that film?
Well, usually if the light goes in, you get something called a light leak, which is usually in color film, it's a variety of colors between yellow and red. This was shot on black and white film, so it just created a haziness to the image. The film is called Crystal Ball, so to me that was actually very functional for the film, because I wanted to create an image of the future that's very much like the present, very mundane and hazy. So I embrace these elements of chance and failure, and I really enjoy working with them. I want to make films and to create images that respond to reality in a way that they look familiar, but they're also different. Because if they look too familiar, then they just become images of reality. And I want them, they're fictional, I want them to be relatable, but at the same time, to be believable as fiction.
When we go to art galleries or museums and we view art, we're looking for some sort of emotional reaction for ourselves when we're viewing something. What about when you're creating? What is your emotional reaction when something is done? Do you feel ever a sense of loss that something is finished? Or do you ever maybe think that nothing is ever finished, that your fictions can always go on?
I'm always relieved that I don't have to work on it anymore, especially films, because they take a lot of work. I don't feel like there is loss, because I know that out of every work I make, there are ideas that stay and become part of the next work. And there's also something, I mean, one of the reasons you were asking me about why I work with all these things, one of the reasons I ended up working with a lot of different media is that I don't like to do the same thing again and again and again. It's not exciting for me. I like to move between things. I really enjoy acquiring knowledge. So I think once something is done, it's done. And then I need to move on to the next thing. And that's a lot more exciting than it is feeling lost to look at what I have finished. Plus, there's also another cycle of once something is finished, it's really exciting to think about all the places where it's going to be exhibited or all the film festivals it might go to. Or the possibility that it's also online, because I put all my films online, and what that brings in terms of an audience that I have no possible access to, I can't control, and I'm you know, when you show in film festivals or in art galleries or in an art context, they're very specific audiences.
But if you put your stuff on the internet, are you making yourself a little extra vulnerable there by exposing your work that way?
I don't think so. I think everything's on the internet. It's 2018. I don't understand why artists don't do this. I make my work, and specifically my films, for people to watch them. And if I say I'm not going to put them online, then I'm being a hypocrite, because that's where people are. I mean, I enjoy showing my work in an art context, of course, because this is where I come from, and also in film festivals, they're very different experiences.
And it's a more intimate experience if you're in bed looking at something there. I would receive the art, I think, differently than if I were in a gallery with a bunch of other people.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the sound that you use in your films. Tell me about how you generate that and where the inspiration comes from.
I make a lot of sound recordings and field recordings. I have a sound recorder like this one, but I also do it on my phone whenever I don't have the sound recorder.
Isn't that beautiful that we can do that now? I love it.
Yeah.
Said the radio girl.
I just can't wait until we can find a way to capture scents as well. And be able to disseminate them on demand.
Do your still photos have any relationship to your films?
Yes and no. I mean, I never take stills from the films and present them as photos, but most of the time while I'm filming, I also take photos. Not as production shots, they're different, but I take photos at the same locations where I film.
I like the fact that you work with film, and it's not all digital. There's a tactile quality to that that I think must be enjoyable for you.
It's expensive, but it's enjoyable, yeah. I wish I could work with digital.
But you can't pickle digital.
Exactly. And also there's something about the fact that it tries to mimic reality too much. And that is something that I don't like, because I work with fiction, and I want the images to look familiar but not extremely hyper-real. There's something about the shift in color in film from reality. The color balance, the contrast, the grain, the light leaks, the beginning of the film, the end of the film, the accidents. There's something about all of this that makes it a lot more poetic and romantic somehow.
That's artist Basim Magdi. His show, To Hypnotize Them with Forgetfulness, runs through December 16th at the University Galleries in Uptown Normal. I'm Laura Kennedy.
You can see a photo gallery of Basim Magdi's work at our website, wglt.org.